Hello and welcome to Scholars Speak, a podcast from the Mitchell Institute, in which we catch up with Mitchell scholars far and wide to hear their stories. Thank you for joining me, your host, Michelle Martin, the 1999 Mitchell Scholar from Scarborough High School, for today's episode of Scholars Speak. And now let's get to it. So today we're welcoming Adam Fortier-Brown, the 2015 Mitchell Scholar from Gardner High School. So welcome to the podcast, Adam.
Happy to be here, Michelle.
We're excited to have you. There is so much to dig into here in your history. I was just refreshing myself on your experiences, and you've had such a tremendous impact and had so many different experiences in a short amount of time, it seems. So we're very much looking forward to hearing about that.
Yeah, it's all really been possible because of the scholarship, to be honest. And I know we'll talk more about that, but just very grateful to this organization, what it's been able, the opportunities it's been able to provide me.
That's wonderful. I can't wait to hear how that has been a thread through some of these experiences, because it certainly seems to be. But we usually like to start at the beginning. So can you just tell us a little bit more about where you grew up and what your experience was like there?
Yeah, so I grew up in Randolph, Maine. It's the sprawling metropolis, 2 square miles. I'm pretty sure it's the smallest town in Maine by area. So when people say like small towns, it's like, you know, we got the one stoplight. But we had ice cream shop, we had a grocery store, we had everything that you needed. So it was packed. I went to Gardner High School. I graduated in 2015, and that was just a great experience. From there, I went to the University of Maine. I studied economics and political science. What a terrific opportunity that was to just kind of get involved in the community, really work on some really interesting things there. And then, you know, from there, I had some great experiences professionally and personally, and found my way down in DC really by January 2018, and have more or less been down here ever since. So we're actually like planning our move back to Maine. We're going to be moving back this May. So we're very excited about that. But it's been a great experience. And it's terrific to see the kind of opportunity that the scholarship provides to students, right? Because when I was looking in and applying to schools, one of the big problems or the challenges that we faced was, you know, how do you pay for it, right? My parents had, I have 2 older brothers who are identical twins. I have an older sister. So, you know, putting 4 kids through college, like over the course of a decade, is really expensive. The Mitchell Institute, the Mitchell Scholarship really was that differentiator for me to make it so that I could go to school and really afford to do it and not have to take a gap year in work or not have to scrounge up money in other ways. So, yeah, so I'm happy to be here. Happy to chat more about it.
That's wonderful. And I know, you know, my experience was very similar. It was really something that helped my parents be able to send me to school. And what I loved about the Mitchell Institute scholarship is that it is balanced in terms of financial needs, certainly being a factor, but academic achievement and community involvement, including, you know, working and all of that is a part of it too. So if on paper, it appears that your parents might be able to send you to school, that's not always, you know, the case. So that balanced approach is a unique piece of this scholarship. I really appreciate. So Adam, I noticed in just looking back at your history, it just seems to me that anything that you've gotten involved in, whether that was in school or beyond, you've just taken this natural leadership position. And so that may have been clubs and organizations, but you've also had some really interesting internship experiences. So I was hoping you could share a little bit of that with us.
Yeah, I think the University of Maine does a really good job of providing opportunities for students where their interest areas are. For me, with my majors and the kind of groups I was involved in, a big part of that was getting some professional experience in the Senate down here. I remember I was actually studying abroad, and one of my professors reached out to me, and he said, "Hey, we have a congressional internship program. You're applying for it. So so send us your resume. Looking forward to seeing it." And I was like, "Okay, cool." Like I knew people who had done it, and it was a terrific experience. I had thought I was going to do it, but wasn't sure because I was already abroad and trying to figure that out. But I applied and I was very fortunate to get it. I was placed in Senator Susan Collins' office in January 2018, and that was a really interesting time to be in that office. Was able to get a lot of exposure on issues ranging from how do you make healthcare more affordable, how do you make aging in Maine more affordable, How do you create a pathway to citizenship for dreamers? Things like that. It was really fascinating. She was hosting a ton of senators in her office every night, and being able to just kind of support that work was really fascinating. After that internship actually led to another internship in DC. So I moved back to UMaine for my senior year and senior fall. I was there and I was like, okay, senior year, like I have my internship experience. Let's start thinking about jobs. And then the same professor reaches out and he says, hey, we have an opportunity with this organization down in DC. It's called the Cohen Group. And it's run by former Secretary of Defense Bill Cohen, former US Maine senator. They said that we usually only typically bring on graduate students for this, but we want to see if we can get an undergraduate program started. Would you like to be the trailblazer for this? Would you like to try and see if we can create something there? And I mean, it was an easy yes, right? Like just move back to DC, work with some really interesting people, really people who made the world the way it is, and learn from them. So I was able to kind of go do that. And really, that's how I kind of got into consulting, was working in that area. We were working with senior government officials and Fortune 50, Fortune 100 companies, and just kind of advising them. And at what, like 22 years old, they like providing a recommendation with the team, obviously, and like seeing that businesses were really listening to it. That was an incredible opportunity. And it stuck. So I just kind of have stayed down here the last few years since then.
And what have you done since that experience when you've been in DC? I know you've had a couple of jobs. You're currently in consulting. Can you just talk through more of what that's like?
Sure. So after the Cohen Group, that internship ended, I ended up managing, government affairs and policy work for a trade association. It was a boat dealers association. My parents own a boat dealership, so that was a really cool intersection of like my personal interest and my background, and work on, small business policy, disaster relief, economic development, outdoor recreation. That was really cool. So was able to actually work with people I used to work with on the Hill, to some degree, to just help put together and pass the at the time what was the largest conservation package since Eisenhower. That was the Great American Outdoors Act, and that was just an absolutely awesome opportunity to work on that. And we're still seeing money come out from there, so that's a really cool way to put money directly into communities that need it. I have a buddy who he was working at Deloitte. Deloitte is a large consulting firm. And he said, hey, we're trying to get some more people here. You have some really good experience and have some of the skills that we're looking for. Can I introduce you to some folks? So I was like, yeah, I'd love to chat. And from one thing led to another, and I had an offer and kind of stuck around. And from there, that's been really cool. I've been able to advise two major federal government clients. The first one was an energy client, so focused more on the energy grid risks associated with that. So we have a lot more money going into it. We need to make it more green, more renewable, more sustainable. People in Maine, I don't need to tell them a whole lot about the issues with like an energy grid, right? And like transmission lines. So like, how do we manage that, right? And now my client that I'm with now, I've been with for over a year and a half, is with the Department of the Navy. So where I do communications work at the secretariat level. So with one of the assistant secretaries of the Navy.
That's fantastic. What is a day like in the life of a person working in consulting? I think the word is broad and it probably is very different depending on what industry you're in, but how are you usually spending your time?
Yeah, it's so totally dependent on your client, right? But typically, there are a lot of different hats that you have to wear, right? A client is going to bring you in to help solve a problem that they need. So you're not expected to be the expert on what they are doing. You're meant to be that kind of connector, right? That researcher, and provide that experience that maybe they don't typically have. So it's a lot of drafting work products. So that's like drafting, the joke is always like, you're drafting PowerPoints and it's like death by PowerPoint. You do memos and things like that, but you're really meeting with clients. You're talking with them directly and saying, hey, what are the issues and how do we work with it? In my current role, we're very much part of the team. The office is really kind of staffed by a lot of the people on my contract and other contractors to just try and provide this specialized sort of experience that they need to be able to execute, their mission. You know, that the president said that we've signed into law, and now we have to go forth and do the actual thing. So that's where we come in, where we can provide that kind of specialized experience.
It's so interesting that you've been able to bring things that really matter, it sounds like, to you personally too, or have a tie to your upbringing or your home or your, you know, just sort of personal passions into your work in such a short period of time, really.
I've been very fortunate in that respect. One of the things that I've always been very passionate about is how can my work improve the place that I love the most, which is Maine, right? When I went to school, it was always this idea that maybe I'd go and leave for a couple of years, but then come back and just apply that experience that I get. So we're actually at that point now, which is exciting. But yeah, it's just been a terrific, terrific kind of path. And I'm really excited to see where we go from here.
I love to hear that you're coming back. That's breaking news on this podcast for those
Yeah,
who
you
don't
heard
know.
it here first.
You heard it here first. And I think that's, you know, what a lot of alumni intentions really are. And if they're not coming back physically, you know, they're giving back to this organization and many others and the state in so many different ways. It's been really interesting to hear about that. So based on all of this experience you've had, and again, I just go back to, it's been such a short period of time and you've been able to have a significant impact on really important matters that are not only important to the state of Maine, but really around the world. What might you offer to Mitchell scholars now, a couple of pieces of advice that would be helpful?
Yeah, what I would say is it's important to know, like, what do you really care about and how can you advance that? Right? How can you help people? The Mitchell Institute provides scholars with such an opportunity where it helps so much with education, but it's also more than a scholarship. It's this network of events, of mentors, and I've leaned on that group countless times to be able to get to where I'm at. So what I tell scholars is that, you know, you've already been recognized for your achievement and for your leadership. You know, let's keep going with that. Let's see where we can take this and see what other good we can cause. Universities also provide a lot of opportunities, whether it's through research or internships or even creating new opportunities. They want their students to succeed. So seek that out, seek out mentorships, seek out, you know, individuals and like-minded people who really want to move this place forward. And the Mitchell Institute's going to be with you every step of the way on that.
We recently had the Mile 2 event, and one of the topics we were discussing was reaching out to people for help. And it sounds so simple, but I think people are really kind of just waiting to be asked. You know, everybody had the experiences we have had in having a network of support, and they want to be that now for someone else. And I think it sounds like you agree very much that, you know, as alumni too, we have this new responsibility as well to give back and really figure out ways that we can enhance the organization and other people's opportunities that we're connected to through it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you're a scholar, you know, and you're not trying to mentor other scholars, then, you know, I would really think about that. I think if you're a scholar that's in school right now, right, I think sending that first message is always really hard. I remember sending that. It's like, what business do I, a sophomore in college, have sending a message to this guy or this woman who is so far, far and away, like, so far impressive. But these people do want to help you. You know, we have a vested interest in you, and we want to be there. We want to be able to support you. So definitely lean on that and other groups that you're a part of when you're on campus. I really do firmly believe that alumni have that responsibility to try and always lift up that next generation and build those bridges for other people. You know, just because my path went one way, it doesn't mean that I did it all by myself. You know, no man's an island. I really was able to succeed in large part due to the organizations and the mentors that I had that really supported me and led me along that path.
Well said. I totally agree. So Adam, we usually like to end with a lightning round, which is a little bit of a surprise, but a simple exercise in that I'll share a few words with you. And when I say the word, just tell me the first thing that comes to mind.
Sounds good. Let's do it.
Okay. Learning.
Important.
Community.
Everything.
Mentorship.
Essential.
Absolutely. And those words came up in your comments today over and over, I think, thematically and directly. And so we are just so grateful that you are willing to come and talk more about what you've been working on. And you're clearly, it sounds like, willing to support other scholars. So if it's okay with you, they could probably reach out, I assume, and ask for help and talk.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm looking forward to those conversations.
Thank you so much, Adam. It's been great to have you.
Thank you. And thank you guys for everything that you do for all of the students that you guys support. It's incredible.
Thanks again for joining us for today's episode of Scholars Speak. To learn more about the Mitchell Institute, you can visit www.mitchellinstitute.org or follow along on social media on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn.